The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
If you want to grab a Bible, we're going to be in Ephesians 4. It's going to take me a moment for us to get there, but Ephesians 4, if you have a Bible, would love for you to join me there. Track with me just for a moment. Early in life, you and I get swept up into this powerful current. And the flow of the current, it typically begins around the age of five. Five when we enter into kindergarten. And for some of us, we are in school for about 12 years. While some of us are in school from somewhere between 17 to 20 years. Then we graduate. We graduate high school, we graduate college, we graduate grad school. And the current, it typically takes us into a job, a particular career path. And at some point, what usually comes next is some get married at this point. Some remain single. Some who marry have children. They foster or adopt children. Some who marry do not have children. And we remain in this current. We work, we earn a living, we pay the bills, we try to save for the future, we invest in relationships, and we just try to enjoy life, right? We take the adventures, we go on vacations, we make the memories. And at some point along the way, we begin to feel the weight and the pace of the current that is taking us along. Life, it becomes incredibly busy and complex. And you add at this point to the current ambitions, challenges, unmet expectations, be it marriage, children, parenting, friendships, jobs, circumstances, life itself. And then one day, we realize the current has brought us to the place where many are now caring for aging parents. We sense in this season the fragility of life and now leading and caring for those who once led and cared for us. And from there, the current typically carries us into retirement. And we hang out there for a few years, and then one more current comes along and it pushes us into the sea of old age where we spend our final days and we die. Welcome to church. The current I'm referring to is the current of the good life. And the good life is the default mode of not just American culture, although it's personified in American culture. It's the default mode of our very humanity. Like, we all come into life, this world, fashioned for the good life. And in the blink of an eye, we can easily end up living a good life while missing the very essence of what life is all about and who life is for. See, the truth is, this morning, all of us get swept up by this current. And this current that carries us along is driven by daily habits and rhythms. You see, every one of us in this room is becoming a certain kind of person. We're becoming a certain kind of husband, a certain kind of wife, a certain kind of mother, father, son, daughter, employee, friend. Truth is, every one of us are going to wake up one day. And it's different for all of us, but we're going to wake up one day and it's going to hit us. We're going to discover that we've been formed into a certain kind of person, and the current that brought us there will be the habits and rhythms that we gave ourselves to. And the only way, what I want to submit to you this morning, the only way that we do not get swept up in the current that merely leads us to the good life while missing out on God's purpose for life, is to continually arrange and rearrange our everyday rhythms in light of God's good and gracious design. I want to be really clear with you this morning from the outset of this message and the series that we're launching into. God has not left us in the dark to try to figure out where he desires to lead us. No, he redeems us by his grace. He indwells us by his spirit. And he graciously invites us to walk the path with him that leads to life. And here's his promise to us, the promise held out for us as we arrange our lives in light of his good design, is that he will form us into the people that we were always meant to be. And he will empower us to participate with him in the good purposes he is accomplishing throughout the world. So over the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at five rhythms of grace that God has given to us as his people, the church. These are rhythms that form and shape us as his people. These are rhythms that enable us to be instruments of grace in God's redemptive mission. As we walk through these ordinary means, ordinary rhythms of grace, we're going to talk very practically about life here at Summit. We're going to talk about our vision of discipleship, and that's really where we're going this morning. We're going to work through our vision of spiritual formation in the life of Summit. We're going to talk about why gathering together consistently and remembering the Lord's Supper and celebrating baptism is vital to our formation. On September the 1st, we're going to talk specifically about the Lord's Supper and baptism, and our heart and desire that day is if you need to take your next step in baptism, we want to celebrate baptisms on that day. If that's a step you need to take, then I want to encourage you this morning to sign up and register. I'll give some more details about where you can do that and how you can do that. We're going to talk about how God uses sacrificial generosity to shape us and accomplish his redemptive purposes. We're going to talk about what belonging to a local body of believers looks like and what it accomplishes. At the end of this series, we're going to ask every one of you who are currently members of Summit Church to recovenant with us. So on the fifth Sunday of this series, we're going to roll out and we're going to talk about why covenant membership and what is the significance of that and what's the purpose of that. And one of the reasons why we're asking everyone who's currently members to re-covenant is because we've updated our covenant. By the end of this message, you'll kind of understand some of the implications of why we've updated that. And if you're not a member here, we're going to give you the next steps that you can take to link arms with us and to belong to this fellowship. Really do believe, as we've been praying over this series, that this is going to be clarifying and unifying for us as a church family. Clarifying and unifying for us as a church family. And before we jump into Ephesians 4, I want to just lay one critical reminder before you. Every rhythm we will look at over the next 5 weeks, every one of them is initiated and sustained by God himself. These rhythms of grace that we're going to be looking at are gifts from God, rooted not in earning, but in receiving and encountering. The recognition that we want to lay before you is that God has taken the first step toward us. He has provided the means by which we can know him, enjoy him, grow in our knowledge of him. And our part is to respond by arranging our lives, our hearts, our days, our schedules around these rhythms of grace. So with this in mind, Ephesians 4, and this morning, let's jump into this idea, the rhythm of being formed. The rhythm of being formed as God's people for God's purposes. We're going to take a look at that and then talk really practically about what that looks like here at Summit. In my own personal journey of walking with the Lord and from my own pastoral experience, 21 years in pastoral ministry, here's what I've discovered. My own life and walking with other people. There tends to be a gap between our intentions and our actual lives. Am I right? I don't think I have to spend a lot of time convincing you of that. The truth is, I believe most of you in this room would affirm something like this. I want to love Jesus more. Like, I want to actually live the abiding life. I want to experience that in the everyday rhythms of my life. I want to become more like Jesus, and I want to experience the transforming power of the Spirit at work in my life. But then there's my actual life, right? And there's this gap. There's this gap between who I intend to be and who I actually am. The reason I'm bringing this up is because the only way that gap shrinks is by our awareness and attentiveness to how we are being formed. Our awareness and our attentiveness to how we are being formed. So as we walk through some of the implications of what Paul's going to really get at in the heart of Ephesians 4, we're going to look at two primary ways we are formed. Two primary ways. And I think this is significant for us to see from the outset, because every one of you in the room has a working theory on how we change, how we grow. We have a working theory on how the gap shrinks between our intentions and our actual lives. And I would say it's not just individual working theory. Every church has a working theory. And we want to lay ours before you this morning. I have two diagrams I want you to see this morning. I want to show you the first. It's unintentional formation. This is the first way we are formed. Unintentional formation. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I'm going to read these first three verses. And here's what I want you to notice as I read. I want you to notice the emphasis of what's going on in the inner life. I, therefore, Paul says, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and bond of peace. Jump down to verse 11, and I want you to notice as we read these next few verses, I want you to notice the vision of our lives that continually grows and matures to look more and more like Jesus. There's this vision Paul is holding out in this passage. Verse 11, and he gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the shepherds and the teachers for what purpose? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we, all of us, we, plural, may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You notice that vision of this continual, ongoing growth and maturity in Christ. Now jump down to verse 17. And I want you to notice the emphasis of this last section in Ephesians 4 on living into our new identity. There's this call from Paul to the church to put off the old self and to put on the new self. Put off your old way of living. Put off your old identity and put on a new identity. There's a new identity that leads to a new way of living. Verse 17. Now, this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. I just wanted you to have this framework of this, what's going on in the inner life, this continual desire to grow and mature in Christ, and the implications that have on putting off what is old and putting on what is new. Two ways we're formed. Unintentional formation. I want to walk you through this, and I want you to see some of the implications from the text in Ephesians 4. First of all, we're all formed by the stories we believe. In verse 17, Paul says, I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds, in the futility of their thinking. Now, Paul's not just talking about their thought life. He's talking about their worldview. He's talking about their understanding of the world and their life in the world. It has shaped the way that they're currently living. He's talking about how they see the world. And the truth is, every one of us have stories and narratives that we live by that help us make sense of the world in which we live. Every one of us. Family history. Our family dynamics. We have stories about our own autonomy. Who gets to call the shots? And there's narratives that we have bought into, that we lay over our framework of thought and choice and decision-making based upon who's really in charge of our life. We have narratives and stories that we buy into that help frame what we think about sexuality and money and friendships and relationships, even the church. The stories we believe or don't believe, it shapes, it colors the way we see the world, the way we live in the world. It's not just the stories we believe, it's also the habits that we engage in. Verse 20, as he's talking about not walking in this way, don't have the worldview of the Gentiles, because that's not the way you learn Christ. Literally, that is not the way of life that you learned. It's not the habits that are conducive to a new way of life. In other words, Paul's getting at this truth. Your habits, my habits, are doing something inwardly to us. It's shaping our heart. It's shaping who we are, which is why in Ephesians 4, he's admonishing them to reorient their life in a totally different direction. Man, what you and I do on a regular, consistent basis, we are becoming that. So the more you do something, the more you want to do something. I haven't always loved coffee. How many of you love coffee? A lot of people are addicted to caffeine in this room. But as a young married man, working a full-time job during the day, going to seminary at night, just had a newborn little boy, I had to learn the habit of drinking coffee. And what happened is day after day of trying to drink coffee and like it, something happened. That habit became a desire, and that habit shaped something in me to where now I'm pretty bougie about my coffee. Not to the degree that bread is. The more we do something, the more it becomes normative in our life. That's true for most things. I would tell you this morning, the more you read your Bible, guess what? The more you're going to want to read your Bible. The less you read your Bible, the less you're going to want to read your Bible. Over time, our habits shape our loves and longings. Our habits doesn't just shape our schedule or our bank account. It shapes our heart. Thirdly, we are formed by the relationships we have. Everything Paul's talking about in Ephesians 4 is plural. The you is y'all. In other words, as Paul's talking about the implications of the new life on the church, he's telling them, hey, you're all part of the same body. You're all joined together. And that your way of life is doing something to the people that you belong to, the people that you're interacting with, the people that you have relationships with. And I also don't have to convince you of this. We become like the people we share life with. The people you hang out with, over time, you start hanging out with them, and you interact with them, and you listen to them, and you listen to their thoughts on the market or the government and politics or just the way you should parent. Guess what? Over time, we start taking on those same ideas, from the way we think to what we desire. From personalities to preferences, we are shaped by the people we have in our lives. And something happens over time by the stories we believe, the habits we engage in, the relationships we have over time through life and circumstance. Guess what happens? We become a certain kind of person. And all of these things right here, the stories we believe, the habits we engage in, the relationships we have, it all happens in a particular environment. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, is reminding them that, hey, Ephesus is doing something to the people in this city. And he wanted them to understand that. That there's a set ideology, there's a set of principles that is shaping the church in Ephesus. And I wonder this morning, do we understand that? Do we understand that America has an agenda for forming us into its principles and ideologies? Do we understand that the longer we live in a particular place, a community, a city, a circle, that over time we take on the identity of that place? But it's not just about geography. No, we have the environment of technology that in our hands is an environment that's forming us and shaping us. All of these things happen in a particular environment, and over time, we become a certain kind of person. And do you know what you and I have to do to be shaped by these things? Nothing. You don't have to be disciplined. You don't need a plan. All you have to do is just wake up tomorrow morning. And all of that right there is going to form you and me into a certain kind of person. But there's a second way we can be formed. And it's called intentional formation. There's unintentional formation and there's intentional formation. Here's what I mean by intentional formation. Intentional formation is the process of being formed into the character of Jesus and the way of Jesus. It's the process by which the Spirit of God produces the character of Jesus in us as we learn to walk in His way. And I just want you to remember, we're going to walk through this really briefly. Everyone who chooses to walk in this way, everyone who chooses the path of intentional formation, does so against the backdrop of unintentional formation. And that's really important to remember. We choose to walk a path of counterformation against the backdrop of the stories we believe, the habits we engage in, and the relationships we have. And the reason I point that out to us this morning is that no one in this room starts at zero. No one walked into this room today unformed. Everyone who comes to Jesus, that chooses to walk an intentional path in the way of Jesus, has been formed, is being formed. So if we're gonna talk about intentional formation, then we have to talk about counter habits that help us in the natural ways we are being deformed. Let me walk through them briefly with you. Number one, we need teaching of the truth to counter the stories we believe. We need teaching of the truth to counter the natural narratives that tend to control our lives. Listen, and I'm not just talking about Sunday morning, although I am talking about Sunday morning. We need the constant teaching and immersing ourselves into the teachings of Jesus. Like, I'm talking about immersing ourselves in a true and better story that your mind and our imagination, our minds and imaginations need a vision of what is ultimately true. And God, in his sovereignty and providence, has designed that the teaching of truth would form us into a certain kind of person. But it's just the beginning. What I would tell you this morning is every one of us in this room, we need objective truth that speaks to all of the subjective narratives that tend to control our lives. We need that. But it's just the beginning. We also need practices. We need practice to counter the habits that are naturally forming us. I want you to look back at verse 17 of Ephesians 4. Listen to these words one more time. Now this I say, I testify in the Lord. No longer walk. No longer take the path of the Gentiles and the futility in their thinking, because they're darkened in their understanding. They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That's not who you are. That's not what you've learned. Assuming that you've heard about him and you were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self. Hey, to put off unintentional formation and to walk in intentional formation. Right? The old way, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds so that you can put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Listen to these words of Jesus, the words of Jesus at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's gospel. Here's what he says. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish person who built his house on sand. Here's the assumption of Jesus. Jesus assumes that the truth that leads to life, it shapes our actual life. And so he invites his disciples, hey, come follow me, journey with me, observe my ways. And then he says to them, as you follow me and observe me and you hear me and you look at my way of life, now go and do likewise. Let's just take one topic that Jesus taught on repeatedly. Jesus has a lot to say about worry, fear, anxiety. He has a lot of teaching that says you and I do not have to be riddled by fear or worry or anxiety. But here's what Jesus doesn't do. Jesus doesn't say, hey guys, hear my words. Hear my truth. Stop worrying. Stop it. Just stop. That's not what he does. He says, follow me. Come journey with me. Hear my words, observe my character, and seek first my kingdom. Seek first my righteousness. And over time, by the work of the Spirit, you will learn to trust the one who knows your every need. That's the way. Man, we need the teaching of truth. But truth must move from something that just influences the mind, that shapes and influences the heart, our affections, our choices, our actual life. And then thirdly, all of this happens in the context of Community. We need community to counter the relationships that we tend to naturally self-select. And just so I'm clear, it's not wrong that you have friends that you like being around. It's not wrong that you like being around friends who like the same things that you like. But here's the thing that the New Testament holds out for us. Every one of us needs people that are aiming their life in the same direction that we're desiring to go. And so when I talk about community, we're talking about the kind of relationships that are built around the process of being formed into the character and way of Jesus. We all need that. I got close friends that have not chosen to walk this path. Dear friends, they are not helping me in this regard. When we put up the blue slide, they help me tremendously in that way. But I need people, not self-selected, that'll help me in this regard. That'll help me understand the teachings and the truths of Jesus and how that shapes me as a person, how that shapes me as a dad, how that shapes me as a husband. You need that. I need that. We need that. Listen, all of this happens in a particular environment. All of it. The teaching of the truth, the practicing of to counter the habits that we are engaged in, and the community that we tend to naturally self-select. All of it happens in an environment that's influenced and controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Counterformation does not happen apart from the work of the Holy Spirit and our dependence upon Him. So listen to me closely. I know I'm throwing a lot at you really quickly. We cooperate with the Spirit. We rely on the Spirit and we learn what is true. We immerse ourselves in the true and better story and we put His truth into practice. We allow His truth to affect our actual life and we learn to walk in His way day after day. And we do so in the context of relationships that are going in the same direction. And here's what happens over time. Through experiences and circumstances, we become a certain kind of person, but not any kind of person. We become more like Jesus. His fruit is produced in us as we participate with Him in the work He is accomplishing. Listen, I don't want you to miss this. This kind of life is possible for every one of you in this room, but it is not automatic. It's not automatic. You could have prayed a prayer 17 years ago, 36 years ago, and showed up to church most Sundays. It won't get you here. It's not automatic. It's available to all of us. But we have to choose, with the Spirit's help, to actually follow Jesus. Two ways we're formed. One naturally. One supernaturally. One requires us to do nothing. One requires ongoing dependence upon the Spirit. Now, I just want to talk really practically about how we see this playing out in the life of Summit. How we see this playing out in the life of Summit. And there's really two questions I want us to consider as we come to a close. The first is personal. The first is personal. How is this playing out in your life? Like the invitation to follow Jesus, to walk in the way of Jesus, to be formed as a disciple of Jesus, it's a personal invitation that requires a personal response. That has personal daily implications upon your life. From the teaching of the truth that colors the way you see the world to the spiritual practices that shape us into the kind of people God intends for us to become, here's what I want you to know. Our formation is first our responsibility. Like, no one can lead you where you're not willing to go. And the implication of discipleship all throughout the New Testament is that it's the disciples of Jesus, those who are following Jesus, who help shape and form disciples of Jesus, those who are already walking in that way. So this is first personal. How is this shaping your life? But it's also collective. How is this playing out? Or how do we see this playing out in the life of Summit? Although our faith journey is first and foremost a personal faith journey, it is never intended to remain personal. Our faith journey was never designed to be an isolated endeavor. No, God graciously leads us into a family that helps us to understand our faith. It helps us to grow and mature in our faith. And whether or not you think of it this way, and it's part of why we're teaching on this, whether or not you see this, the people in this room are a gift of grace to you, to me, to us. This is a room filled with grace given by God to help us, to form us, to shape us along this path. And so when we consider the primary ways we're intentionally formed from the teaching of truth and the practices that we engage in an intentional community, we believe at Summit there are three rhythms for us to see these things play out in the life of our church. Three avenues of counterformation. And I'll share them quickly and give you one next step, and we'll close. The first is corporate worship. It's what we're doing this morning. The people of God, the truth of God, the Spirit of God. A weekly rhythm of teaching, encouraging, praying, singing, receiving of the elements. You know what it's doing? You know what Scripture promises that it does? It's forming us into a certain kind of people. It's forming us. And if I were to situate corporate gathering, its leading edge of what it accomplishes in this paradigm, I would situate corporate gathering at the top of the triangle. That's where I would put it for us. That from this place this morning, we're going to be commissioned to go back into our spheres of influence. And we're going to be commissioned to live out the ways of Jesus in our everyday lives. In fact, next Sunday, when we gather again back at this place, we're going to take an entire Sunday to talk about the significance of what's going on this morning. We're going to talk about what that looks like for us, our vision of corporate gathering, and why it's significant in the life of formation. Corporate worship is incredibly important to what God desires to do in shaping his people. But corporate worship alone will not form you or I into the character and way of Jesus. It alone is not enough. So the second rhythm that we have here at Summit is called life groups. Life groups. This is a rhythm of where we practice our core values in the context of meaningful relationships. It's an avenue by which we can be introduced and exposed to intimacy with God and his redemptive mission with other people for the sake of other people. If I were to tell you the leading edge of life group, I would place it at the bottom right of the triangle, a community. Here's what we've discovered in the last 17 years at Summit about life group ministry. Life groups most effectively allow people the opportunity to be connected in community for the purpose of relationships and care. That doesn't mean that the teaching of truth never happens in life group. That's not what we're saying. It doesn't mean that in life group you never have the opportunity to go and practice, to engage in spiritual practices throughout the week or with one another. That we're not saying that. What we're saying is, by and large, the primary outcome of a life group for us is relational connection for community and care. And then there's one more, Summit Disciple. Summit Disciple is a rhythm of men discipling men and women discipling women, where the primary focus is learning by practicing. It's 3 to 4 men, it's 3 to 4 women who are mutually committed to being formed as disciples of Jesus, who will form disciples of Jesus. It's environments that process the truth by integrating the truth in spiritual practices. And this is something we've been talking about for the last year and a half broadly with you. And now we are ready to introduce, this coming fall, we're going to introduce Summit Disciple as a rhythm into the life of our church. 3 different rhythms, each rhythm with a different emphasis. I would place Summit Disciple at practice. Each with a different emphasis so that we can more effectively meet people where they are on their journey of faith, knowing that each rhythm plays a vital role in helping us to be formed as disciples of Jesus. So here's how I want to end our time, and I'm going to invite the team to come back up as we close out with one song. I just want to tell you what our desire is for you pastorally. For anyone who comes into the life of Summit, who desires to be a part of this community, here's what we desire to see. I would put it in 2 primary categories. We long for everyone to move towards covenant membership with us, and for everyone to move towards biblical community with us. That's how we're planning. That's how we pray. Those are 2 significant realities for us. If God's leading you to be a part of Summit, to be here at Summit, guess what we want for you? We want you to be here at Summit, to belong here, to invest here, to be intentionally formed here, to covenant here, to be known here so that you can know others here. And we're going to be talking about this throughout this series, ways that you can do that. But what we long for you as the people that God is bringing into this place is we want you to covenant with us and be an intentional community with us. As you leave this morning on your way out at the kiosk at the back, there's two forms that we want to put into your hands. One is a pretty detailed description of Summit Disciple. We're going to pilot Summit Disciple groups starting the second week of September. These are intentional discipleship groups, small groups, men discipling men, women discipling women. We have a limited number of groups that we can launch just because we're trying to launch these across all 4 congregations, and it just takes time to equip leaders to do this. But what you're going to see moving forward is every year that we launch life groups, we'll run Summit Disciple groups parallel to those 2 environments, 2 environments that we're asking you. If you're going to covenant with us, belong here with us at Summit, our ask of you is to be in either a Summit Disciple group or a life group. And some of you may be wondering, can I be in both? Yes, you can be in both. Do I have to be in both? No, you do not have to be in both. Pick up this form. It'll answer some of your questions. But we're just going to take the next 2 Sundays and just put it before you. Maybe this is an opportunity for you to step into an intentional environment with other men, other women, to take your next step in the journey of being formed in the way of Jesus. And then this form, on this side, obviously, is a bunch of dates. This is our fall ministry calendar. Pick this up. A lot of things happening in and around the life of Summit. But I want you to scan this QR code, and it's going to take you to a landing page that has multiple things on it that are going to be informative for you. If you need to take your next step in baptism, you can find that registration here. If you're newer to Summit, we're going to have a Next Steps coffee coming up in just a few weeks. You can sign up for that here. If you want to sign up for Summit Disciple, you can do that here. If you want to sign up for a life group, you can do that here. There's other things there as well. My question to you, what I want to put before you, is what is your next step in two primary ways? What is your next step personally when it comes to being intentionally formed in the way of Jesus? What's your next step? And then what is your next step here with us? Let me pray for us. Father, I pray that you would allow the desire of the elders and pastors here at Summit to be as clear and as intentional as we can in caring for the people that you've entrusted to us, providing opportunities to know what it means to be formed in the ways of Jesus as a part of this faith family. So there's a sense by which I'm praying for unity amongst our body, a receptivity amongst our people, that you would speak to exactly where we find ourselves. If there are people that are here and they understand this morning, by your Spirit through the Word, they have an understanding this morning. Man, they're being formed in 101 ways, and yet they're not really taking steps towards intentional formation. I pray that your Spirit would prompt them, give them the courage today to take their next step. And I hope they see that there's a step that they can take in the context of this place, this people, this community. For some of us, it's making what we're doing right now a priority in our weekly rhythm of formation. For some, it may be stepping into a life group. For some, it may be stepping into Summit Disciple. God, would you spur our people, encourage our people? Would you speak to your people that there is a beautiful, beautiful path that you have for us, a beautiful design? And that if we will be of one mind and of one heart and of one spirit, you will blow our minds with what you will not only do in us, but through us for your glory. That's how I'm praying. That's how I'm continuing to pray for us. May it be so.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.